Hey Circle, Jess here. Welcome to the first workshop of 2016. It is the February 2016 Thriver Circle Workshop. And this month I'm going to be teaching you about two things that I've come up with. One of them is the four P's of visual marketing, and the other one is the content cycle. So this workshop is all about how to harness visual marketing for your handmade business. I know a lot of people struggle with visual marketing, coming up with ideas for content, and also with, you know, keeping up with all the different places. So, you know, social media, your mailing list, and all that sort of stuff, working out what to share where. So I'm going to hopefully help you solve both of those problems in this workshop. I'm going to give you heaps of examples of the types of content you can share and give you a bit of a framework for how to think about it. And then I'm going to share what I call the content cycle, how to actually use the same piece of content across lots of different media to make the most out of the piece of content you've created. So let's jump into this month's workshop.
Hey Circle. So this workshop is on the four P's of visual content and the content cycle. We're going to get you fired up for content marketing, visual content marketing, that is. So, visual marketing is really, really important. It's probably what most of you focus on as makers. It makes sense to focus on visual marketing because we have beautiful real world objects that we can take photos of. So let's just begin by talking about the three fundamental online marketing channels for your products. And those fundamental channels are the three pillars. So your blogging, your social media, and your list, which is your mailing list. So these really are the three main pillars of marketing that you can use to get out there yourself. So the things that you have control over. There's obviously other things like PR, etc., but those rely on someone else to accept you and share your work on their platform. These are your platforms, the three pillars of this, the ways that you can connect with your customers. So we're going to talk today about these three pillars and how they interact and how they can work together to help you market to your ideal customer. This is a great little graphic my friend Karen Gunton from Build a Little Biz, who's now just karengunton.com, put together, the three elements of an online marketing plan. So I'll share a bigger version of this in the show notes for this workshop, the workshop blog post, so you can have a closer look at it. But it just gives you an idea to start with what this workshop is all about, the interconnectedness of everything. You know, don't think about your blog, your social media, and your newsletter as three separate things that you have to do work, separate lots of work for. They really are interconnected, and you can actually use them all together to make your marketing more effective and easier on you as well. Because I know we all have very limited time, so this workshop's all about making things easier and saving you time when it comes to your marketing. So those of us who have a physical product, which is probably most of us, have a huge advantage. Obviously, if you have a digital product, you know, a pattern or a printable or something like that, you can still turn it into a physical product by printing it out. And that's what I would recommend you definitely do so that you can actually do some of these things that I'm talking about. But you can also work, you know, take photos of your work on a tablet or a computer or whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have a huge advantage over anyone who's just a digital marketer because we have all of these beautiful products that we can use to market our work to our customers. And this is especially true when it comes to social media because social media is trending and has been for a long time now towards the visual and away from words so much. So, you know, YouTube, Pinterest, Instagram are kind of the major ones. Facebook as well. They changed the layout a while back so that images are more front and center. So, you know, it's kind of really all about the image. That doesn't mean that words aren't important. They are. They're very important because we still need words to Google stuff and to look stuff up and search for stuff. So don't let me confuse you into thinking that, oh, you don't need to worry about words anymore. But visual marketing for you is going to be incredibly powerful. Okay, so this is a quote from a couple of years ago now anyway, and it's from Katerina Walter from Fast Company, and she said, 2 years ago, marketers were spreading the maxim that content is king, but now it seems a picture really is worth a thousand words. And it's true, you know, you can entice someone into your world, into your shop, with a really brilliant photo. And some of us have found the photo. I know there's one particular photo of one of my products that has just been featured all over the place. It was kind of like the breakthrough photo. It's of our sterling silver oxidized 5mm half round ring. And something about it just works. And I've used that in lots of places. It's been featured on BuzzFeed. It's been featured on Etsy. It's been featured in the Woodford Faux Festival program, on lots of blogs. Yeah, so sometimes you'll just get it right with one particular picture. My friend Kath from the Bearded Pigeon, she has this one photo of her daughter on one of her matte pillows, and that photo just has again helped her business explode. Something about it just works. And yeah, so sometimes a picture can just make all of the difference. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get one of these sorts of breakout photos, but you can work towards it, and you can, you know, try to make every photo shareable and beautiful and help, you know, bring people into your store. So this is just a little graphic showing how this shift developed. So we had, you know, blogs, you know, 500 to 1,000 words, and it kind of moved down to Facebook and Twitter, which were microblogs and less words and more images. And now all the, you know, the real popular social media, Pinterest, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube, it's all about the image. And there's very few words necessarily involved. So it's definitely shifted that way. And you really need to harness that to grow your business if you're not doing it already. So you want to share your story. And I know I bang on about this marketing is sharing your story, but it really is. And visual marketing is just sharing your story in a visual way, whether that be through photos or through video. And, you know, if you're not afraid of video, that's a really, really powerful thing as well, to do a video of you in your studio telling your story. Etsy, even if you're on Etsy now, allows you to put videos in your about page. So it's pretty cool. So, you know, definitely if you're not shy, do a video. And even if you are shy, you can still do a video, and just your face doesn't have to be on it. You can do a narration over it, and you can show your hands working or whatever. You know, there's lots of ways to do stuff. Don't let fear of the unknown hold you back. You can do a great video on a smartphone these days. You know, they're such great quality now. You just use a smartphone to record it and you're done. And use free video editing software to put it together. So the question, of course, always is, what do you share? When you, I know, you kind of get this paralysis of, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to take a photo of. I don't know what to do a video about. I'm stuck. And so you don't do anything because you feel stressed and stuck about it. So I have a bit of a solution for you today with that. I call it the four P's. These are the four types of visual content that you can share on social media, your blog, and your mailing list to market your product-based business. What are those four P's? People, process, products, and what I call parallel. Probably not the best word, but I wanted the four P's, so I went with parallel. So I'll go through those again. The four P's are people, process, products, and parallel. So I'm going to take you through each one of these now and give you a bit more info and some examples. Okay, so products, you can share full or part of a product, the sneak peek behind the scenes. Process, you want to be sharing what and how you make. People, you and others with your work. And parallel are images that reinforce your brand, but that aren't necessarily yours. Okay, so let's talk about products. What are the sort of product images that you can share? Here's a couple. New products, obviously. So something you've just created. and is in the shop perhaps, you can use product photos. Don't be afraid to take your product shots and share them on social media. You don't necessarily have to share, you know, always share new photos that are like behind the scenes photos. Use a product photo, it's fine. Classic products, so these are things that have been in your store for a long time, preferably the popular ones. Kind of share them a few times on a regular basis. Don't be afraid to come back to them on every few months and reshare them. You always have new people watching. You've always got new customers coming through. So they, just because you've seen it a million times doesn't mean they have. Collections of products. This is a great one. So, you know, take your products and put them together somehow in a complementary collection and take a photo. Or just put together a mosaic of a few different complementary photos of products and share that. Parts of products. So this is kind of the sneak peek sort of thing where you might show a corner of something or something in progress, or some materials that are going to go together. You know, you can do a flat lay of some materials that are going to come together and become your product. All of those sorts of things. And prototype products. This is a great one. So, you know, you can be midway through a prototype and you can share and get feedback from your audience on the process. And do they like where this product's going? Is it something that they would buy? Do they have color preferences? All that sort of stuff. And that's another way to get them involved. So let's talk about some process options. Photos of you making stuff. And this, you know, it can be from behind, it can be in front, it can be down, it can be your hands, it can be from the side, it can be close up, far away. There's so many different ways you can do this. Obviously, you're probably going to need someone to help you with this, but not necessarily if you've got a tripod or some way to prop your camera up and you can use the timer setting. But if you do have someone around, take advantage of them and get them to help you by taking some of these photos. Photos of the manufacturing. So if you don't actually make your own stuff, you get it manufactured by someone else, go and take photos of the, you know, show that process. If your mum and your aunt help you, you know, take photos of them working. If you have a sustainable factory that you work with, go and take photos of that and show the process. Photos of the design process are always awesome as well. So if you do sketches, if you scribble notes, if you have bits and pieces, like whatever design process you go through, inspiration. So, you know, if I'm inspired by a leaf or something, I might show a picture of that next to the finished product, etc. Photos of product elements before they're put together. So that's kind of what I was talking before about the flat lay, or some sort of artfully arranged combination of your materials. And styling behind the scenes shots. So kind of, you know, imagine you're taking a photo of your product, have another camera taking photo of you taking a photo. Oh my gosh, it's so meta. So, you know, those, when you see those videos where they're like doing a fashion shoot and they've got, you know, that someone else is there with a video camera filming the photographer and the model taking, you know, that sort of thing, that sort of behind the scenes of the process of taking your photos and styling and stuff like that. That's another great process option. Or do a video. I did this video, the making of Ethereal's cloud earrings, a few years ago now. I will put that again in the workshop thingy so you can watch it as an example. It's not like a masterpiece or anything. We must have made this 4 or 5 years ago now. So it's, you know, not brilliant, but it's fine. It does the job. I would like to make some new ones actually and update it and, you know, with better camera and better audio and all those sorts of things. But just as an example of something that you can make to put together to show the process of making the product, because people don't understand really how much goes into making something. So, you know, I chose a pair of earrings that have a lot of steps in them that are, you know, quite expensive. Well, people might think they're expensive when they look at them, but when you actually watch the video and see how much time I actually have in the video, I actually time lapse in that. I speed the video up by a couple of times, so I show the entire process, but a lot of it's sped up because otherwise you'd be sitting there for way too long watching it. Go watch that as an example of kind of a making of video. it's a fun thing to do, and it's, you know, it tells, it helps you tell your story, and it is a great thing to market your business as well. Put it on YouTube, share it on your Facebook page, on Instagram. You know, you might even just want to take little snapshot videos on Instagram to show the process, which is probably the most easy thing you can do. Again, you probably need someone to help you, but I'm sure there's someone who can help you do that. So video is awesome of process, because it actually shows it in front of people's eyes. So the next one is people. So you wearing, using, or with your product, that's pretty much a no-brainer. You or, you know, your family. So if you have a model or whatever. Customer appreciation photos are fantastic. So, you know, whenever a customer shares a photo with your work on, you know, your feedback, or they email it to you, or they put it on Instagram or Facebook, reshare that. Obviously, if they email it to you or send it to you in some sort of private way, don't share it without getting their express permission to share it. But if they share it on a public social media feed, i.e., if they share it on Instagram and their account is public, if they share it on your Facebook page, not on their profile, because that's not public, if they share it on your Facebook page, on Pinterest, on their blog, any of those places, it's fair game to take it and reshare it, obviously, with credit back to the original person who shared it, which I'm sure you'd want to do anyway. So that's a great one. And customer appreciation photos are kind of a double punch, because not only are they a nice, hopefully, a nice photo of your product, they're social proof. Social proof is hugely important when it comes to marketing. We buy what our friends buy. We like what our friends like. We trust our friends to recommend stuff. That's why, you know, recommendations and ratings and reviews are so important, because, you know, a marketer can be as slick and as, they can tell us a story, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a true story. We rely on our peers, other customers, to tell us the real story about a product. So customer appreciation photos are the social proof. They're other people showing your customers or potential customers that your stuff is awesome, that you're telling the truth about your stuff being awesome and what it's like in reality. So those are gold. Make the most of them and ask for them. We actually on our, I don't have one. That's a shame. On our little sheet that we send out with every order, I actually have it on there, printed on there. It's like, you know, we love seeing our jewelry out in the world. If you do share it on social media, please use the hashtag Ethereal so that we can have a look. And then down the bottom, I put our social links. So I put our @Ethereal Instagram, / Ethereal on Facebook, so people can easily find us on social media and hopefully share. So I'm not telling them to share it. I'm just indicating that if they would like to, I would love to know about it. Okay, so that's a great way to encourage people to share photos of your work and tell you about it. Celebrities, obviously, in this world, I'm not one who cares about celebrities, but a lot of people do. So, and even if you don't care about celebrities, again, a lot of people are influenced by that. So do keep that in mind. If there's ever an example of a celebrity using, wearing, buying, obviously, again, if it's public, don't ever go, oh my God, you know, Angelina Jolie just bought a pair of my earrings. No, that's private, you know, unless she shares it somewhere publicly. That's not cool. So yeah, trying to get, you know, a photo or whatever of a celebrity, if you ever find it. Some people actually chase this, you know. You can actually, if this is your thing, you can get in touch with agents and try to get your stuff worn on TV shows or in movies, or just on the, you know, on the red carpet, stuff like that. There are places around that help people do this, if that's something that appeals to you. So, you know, keep that in mind as an option. And of course, animals and children, always adorable. Everybody likes that. So if you, you know, you have kids or animals that you can somehow involve in a non-weird way in your marketing, then do it. I mean, you know, I'm a dork. I share photos of my cats occasionally because they're part of our life. They're part of our story. And again, if you know you have kids, I'm sure you probably share photos of them occasionally. It's all about balance. So, you know, unless you're you know, unless your shop is kid clothes or something kid focused, don't share a lot of them. Just, it's just a small part of your life and your story. Don't overdo it. You know, we all love our little creatures, but we love them more than anybody else does. So we want to make sure we don't like overdo it with the animal photos or the kid photos. So yeah, those are all options, people options. So here's a couple of examples of my customers who sent me, well, I haven't sent me, but have shared photos on Instagram of my stuff. And I've then, you know, used them to reshare. I actually have a page on my website that's happy customer photos, which I haven't updated for a while, so I need to do that. So that's a really good way, again, to put all those photos together in a place so that your customers who do visit your website can actually go, oh, look, here's what other customers have bought and what they like. So yeah, that's a fun thing to do as well, collect those photos together. So the last one is parallel. What does that mean? Okay, so other people's products or photos that reinforce your brand, and ditto for other people's content. So the key here is photos or other content that reinforce your brand, but not direct competitors. So I wouldn't be sharing photos from another silversmith who makes stuff similar to me. I might share photos from another silversmith who makes very different work to me, and that's fine. But it's ideal if you can share other stuff. So for example, I might do a blog post with some examples of some clothing that would go really well with my jewelry, or some homewares or decor that fits with my brand and my brand aesthetic. So, you know, this is kind of thinking outside the box. Again, finding shops and hopefully other handmade businesses that make stuff that's not a direct in direct competition with you, but is complementary in style and branding. Sharing those pictures to reinforce the feel of your brand. And also it has another benefit in that you hopefully connect with that other maker. So if you share one of their product photos on your Instagram, you obviously say this is so-and-so's, you link to their Instagram, you might even mention their shop or whatever, and they see that you've shared their stuff. And you might make a new connection there. They might even share your stuff back. Obviously, that's not the goal, but you know, it's a nice way to build a community of like-minded people who have similar branding and reinforce your own community and your own brand without having to do the work to create the content. Okay, so you're borrowing it from someone else. Obviously, if you do this, make sure that they're happy for you to do so. My personal opinion is if it's a photo in a shop, it's okay to share it as long as you reference back to the person. If you're worried about this though, you can reach out to them beforehand and ask them if it's okay. You know, often people's Instagrams, they'll, if they're not happy with you to repost a photo, they'll actually say please ask or whatever. So just check for that. Again, on people's blogs, just check to make sure, usually it's in the sidebar or on the about page, if they're not happy for you to share without permission. Okay. All right. So where do we share these pictures? Our three pillars: on your blog and other people's, obviously, if you know, the whole PR thing, social media, and your mailing list. All right. All places you can share this visual content. So Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, those are kind of the big ones really for visual marketing. Instagram, I think probably most of you are on Instagram, or if you're not, you're going to be. It is the fast, currently, as I record this, I'm sure in 2 years' time it probably won't be the same. It's currently the fastest, easiest, and most fun way to market your product without being salesy. So the beautiful thing about it is it's easy, it's fast, and it's beautiful, and there's a nice sense of community on there as well still. It's been going strong for a couple of years now, so I hope it continues. So here's some examples of shots I've taken over the years. You can see my hair's changed over a couple of years. These photos are from some older ones. So there's a photo of me at a wedding fair I did, a photo of me working, couple photos of me working, a photo of Nick working, some behind the scene as a behind the scenes photo of my one of my photo setups, some stuff in progress, a finished product, or yeah, so those are all just quick examples of the sort of images you can share. And here's a couple of complimentary photos, or just some examples of other people's shots. So like the Best Georgette one, it's a part of a product, like a sneak peek. The Melanie J. Hay one is some sterling silver earrings, I think, in progress. And the Shrimpton Couture one is actually a style photo. I think it's Sophia Loren. And Shrimpton Couture, she sells vintage, like highbrow vintage stuff. So that's, you know, giving a feel of her brand. Okay. So you might be thinking, whoa there lady, I've only so many minutes in the day, only so much time to come, not only, you know, share this stuff, but photograph it and come up with it, and oh my god, it sounds like a lot of work. Well, it can be, but it also doesn't have to be. Why? Because of the content cycle. Okay, so some of you probably already do this, and if you do, awesome. Some of you might not, because you have this weird idea that it's not right, it's for some reason. So this is making your content work across platforms, the same piece of content to work across platforms. So you take a photo on Instagram and you push it through to Facebook. You then put that same photo on your blog, and then you pin it from your blog to Pinterest. Those of you just listening, there's a bit of a diagram here. You might want to go check it out on the workshop slides later. And then from Pinterest, you can share it through to Facebook as well if you haven't done that already. Okay, and everything can be shared everywhere. So if you put something on your blog, you can then share that picture on Instagram and then on Facebook. Or you can take your blog picture and share it on Facebook. You know, just share it everywhere is basically what I'm saying. Now, those of you who don't do this already probably are thinking, won't people get annoyed at seeing the same thing multiple times? No, because they won't, okay? The only people who are going to see this content in multiple places are your rabid fans who follow everything you do. Most of us don't have many of those people, which is sad, but also probably okay. Most people are casual fans. Like they might love you and what you do, but they're not going to stalk you obsessively on every single social media all the time. So for example, take a photo on Instagram, you push it through to your Facebook. Not only is the chances of people seeing it in both places very low, you've got to remember that, sure, we see everything that comes up on Instagram, but the person has to be on Instagram at that very moment, or, you know, within 10 minutes or whatever, depending on how many people they follow, to even have a chance of seeing it. And if they're following you on Facebook, you know, 5 to 10% of your followers will see anything you post at any one time, so the chances of them seeing that are pretty low. Again, if you share it through to Pinterest, they have to be you know, checking Pinterest at that very same moment, and it has to show up in their feed. So, you know, the chances of them seeing it in multiple places are pretty low, and who cares? Like, so what if they see it in a couple of places once in a while? Nobody's gonna mind. It's fine. So the best thing for you is to actually, you know, share it in as many places as you can, because you want to hit as many people as you can. That's probably the wrong way to say. You know, you want to connect with as many people as possible with that one piece of content. So you share it everywhere you can to up the likelihood of more people seeing that piece of content. So another thing that you can do that's, you know, important is to involve your audience. So, you know, don't just necessarily share a piece of content without any text. You might ask a question, you might tell a story. This is a quick example of a piece that I created, and I just said, hey, this is a prototype, this is what it says, this is what it's about, what do you guys think? And I got people's feedback on Instagram and on Facebook about that, and that was really great because it gets people involved and invested. An investment in your brand equals repeat custom, so it equals people coming back to you over and over again. So, you know, put something up in your blog, share it to Pinterest, put it through to Facebook. Here's an example of that. A post I did about some beautiful cushions by Niwa. I pinned it to Pinterest and then I put it up on my Facebook. Simple as that. I could have also taken that photo and put it onto Instagram. All right. So I'm trying to hit as many different places at once with the same piece of content. Now, if you did the Handmade Business Bootcamp in January, you'll know when I talked about marketing, I talked about it as a habit. So the key to all of this being successful and actually working is consistency. It's doing it regularly. It's sharing on all the platforms regularly and keeping a presence. You don't have to use all of these platforms. You don't have to use all of the different social media. You know, choose the ones that work for you and that you can keep up with. But, you know, do be consistent with it and share as much as you possibly can daily. It's great. Multiple times a day is obviously awesome. You want to get this idea that people want to think, oh, you just seem to be everywhere. I've had this said to me numerous times. The thing that's usually connected with this is, don't you ever sleep? You just seem to be everywhere all the time. And I say, yeah, I get my good 8+ hours a night because I need sleep or I'm a grumpy bear. And I seem to be everywhere because I hit as many different channels as possible with the one piece of content. Okay, so, you know, I'll share the same piece of content in across my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. I'll then might put it on my blog or, you know, vice versa, or put it in my mailing list. So that's the key to being everywhere, is to, using this content cycle to share stuff in as many places as possible. So when it comes to your marketing, a plan is good, but a routine is better. All right, getting into the routine of this cyclical thing. And there's lots of apps that can help you. There's one called If This Then That, where you can, If This Then That, I'm just writing this down so I remember to put it in the workshop. It's, you can set up these workflows so that, you know, if I share this photo to my Facebook, it also goes to blah, 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 other places. So that's a great tool that can help you. Obviously with Instagram, you have built-in multi-sharing functionality. You know, you can share stuff, push stuff through to Twitter and Facebook immediately, and it's done. So yeah, that's great. Okay, so what about your mailing list? I haven't really talked about this yet. Well, I mean, obviously you can use images else that you use elsewhere in your mailing list as well. A few things, you know, take advantage of HTML email. Most people get HTML emails this way these days. A HTML email, of course, is one where it's all, you know, visual with photos and stuff, not just a text-based email. Make it bright and colorful and enticing, and use pictures, but size them correctly. If you're uploading like a high-res photo, make sure to edit it down in the mailing list software or beforehand so it's only as wide as the email, minus 600, so I make sure it's 600 pixels wide so that it doesn't break people's inboxes. Okay, so I've given an example of a recent email campaign I sent out to my affiliate list. There's a link here in the workshop. Again, I'll put it in the workshop link as well, the workshop blog post as well. And so that's just an example of a very simple follow-up that I sent out to an earlier, more detailed email reminding people about the special that I was running for the month. Don't get stuck on this idea that an email has to be long and complicated. It doesn't. It's probably better if it's not. The less you can put in an email and still get the point across, the better, because people are busy. People don't have time to slog through lots of stuff. You know, obviously sometimes you do need to put more info in there and tell a story, but when it comes to your products, your photos are going to be the key to selling them. A good example of this actually are the Etsy emails. If you're signed up for any of the actual Etsy sales emails, so, you know, the ones they send out to promo other shops, they're literally just pictures. They have themes. They have like, oh, here's, you know, this is about the wedding season. And then they'll have, you know, wedding dresses, photo, 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 engagement rings, photo, photo, photo. That's literally all they put in there. So, and the idea is to entice you to click, obviously, on the photo that appeals to you. So using photos in your emails is extremely powerful. Another thing, obviously, that you can share just to your mailing list are exclusive discounts and content. Again, make a visual, use something like Canva to actually put the discount or the content content info on the actual image so that people see the image and they don't have to read the text below. You can use the same, obviously, image on Instagram, Facebook, etc. Use images with text to quickly get the point across about some sort of special or discount or whatever it is that you're doing. So, to recap, remember the three pillars: blogging, social media, and list building. The four P's, the four types of visual content you can share: people, process, products, and parallel. And share something, if you can, every single day. And those little drips of content over time will get people knowing you and get people comfortable with you and hopefully entice them to check you out and eventually become a customer. So, and the content cycle, don't be afraid. Use the same piece of content in as many places as possible, either at the same time or later. You know, you might share something on your blog one day, pin it on Pinterest the next day, share it on Instagram and Facebook the day after. Make it last. Okay, and we've reached the end of that workshop. If you have any questions for me, please leave them in the comments below the workshop. Or you can ask me over in the Facebook group as well, and I will get back to you and answer them. So head out there, start using that visual marketing, start creating those bits of content, and really connect with people on that visual level, because it's extremely powerful. And I'll see you in the circle.